Let's take a look at Braille, the reading and writing system for those who are blind and indeed some partially sighted people learn as well. Does it still have a place in the 21st century? Well, we have with us Kerry Campbell, who has been using Braille since, well, I suppose forever, Kerry.
Absolutely, almost forever, since the age of five.
So the system is the six dots, which make up the alphabet. There are contractions that make up words. I mean, you started at a very early age. Was it easy to learn?
I mean, it's probably hard for me to really answer that because I didn't know any different. So I've been blind since I was two. So in nursery, I can remember having, I didn't know that they were called this, but they were pre-Braille books. So it was getting me used to different textures and things. And then from primary one, just as everybody else was learning Abaca, I was learning it in Braille. So it didn't feel any harder or any different at all to my friends in my mainstream class who were learning print. So for me, no, it wasn't hard. It was something that I loved. I absolutely took to it, learned the contractions. So Braille is very large for anyone who doesn't know. It takes up volumes and volumes of books because it's bigger than print. So you have to have a shortened version if you want to be able to read quickly or fit more onto a page. So that after you learn the alphabet, you have to learn the grade two Braille, which is all the contractions for various word signs and things. So probably by the end of P1 or maybe halfway through P2, I had done that, took to it and have always loved it, really.
There's Braille for different languages, there's Braille for musical notation, you know, it really kind of expands into every facet, doesn't it?
Yes, and that's a challenge. So for example, the word sign for the in English Braille is an E grave in French Braille. So when I was learning French, when I got to high school, there was a new Braille code to learn. And I was just in Poland recently and I tried to read some Braille on a Braille map that was in the middle of the city centre. And of course, it was all Polish Braille. So unfortunately, you can't just translate into other languages. Once you know Braille, it has different codes for each language.
So you learned at a very early age. And I'm assuming that was very beneficial for you going through your education, you know, for someone who maybe had to learn to use it at an older age.
Absolutely. I did everything in Braille, really, all through school. I didn't really use anything else but Braille. I suppose that was the era we were in at the time, like 40 years ago or something, I started school. So I had one of the big mechanical Perkins Braillers. It's quite noisy, actually. I don't know if you've heard one, Alan, but it's not quiet in a classroom. So my classmates just had to put up with that. And it was just part of their normal background noise. So yeah, everything was done in Braille. And technology for me didn't really come in until much later, maybe like probably halfway through secondary or something like that. I started to use more technical ways of working. But yeah, it was Braille all the way for me.
So we go back to the Perkins Braille, that also looked like a typewriter with a little sort of square keys on it for you to put in the Braille. I mean, time has moved on. You know, technology, as you say, has moved probably just as rapidly for writing and reading with Braille as well.
I mean, the Perkins Brailler still has its place if you want to produce something in hard copy. I suppose it's like your pencil. If you're blind, it's just something you can scribble down a quick note with and it's there on the paper in front of you. But yeah, there's a lot of technology now, and that one of the things that I probably couldn't do without now in my job is my Braille note taker. So it looks exactly like a tablet, like an iPad or a Samsung tablet, except it has a row of refreshable Braille along the front. So that means that as I type, the Braille on that row changes, or as I want to read something back, I can read it a line at a time just on that refreshable Braille display. And it's portable, it's really small, and it's fantastic. I've got everything, I was going to say, at my fingertips, but that is exactly what it is. Yeah, so it's revolutionised things, really.
Are you one of these magical people that can kind of read almost two lines of Braille at the same time, you know, each one hand on one line and one hand on the other?
Yeah, so they teach you this sort of scanning technique where you, I don't even know what I do, to be honest, I'm not really conscious of it, but I think you go halfway along the line with one hand and then your next hand's ready, tracking across the line below. It's a flow. So yeah, I mean, I don't really remember learning that as such. I was very young, but it's just, that's a really natural way to read to me. And I can see that it's much harder for people who maybe haven't been taught that because it's more stilted. You're trying to maybe track with just one hand, or, you know, not finding it as easy to move to the next line and things.
We hear about restaurants having Braille menus or Braille information in places, but is it still quite sparse?
Yeah, and it's probably more sparse since the pandemic, to be honest. I've noticed that a lot of Braille menus have been whipped away. Maybe it's because people thought it was less hygienic, or they just haven't been updated. I'm not quite sure what the reason is. I mean, I still think that's the, you see, if you're a good Braille user, that is the easiest way to be able to do it. There's no need to open up an app or worry if something's going to be in a PDF format or if the menu is going to be a photo, blah, blah, blah. If it's there in Braille, it's just so easy and it just makes it so much less stressful. But it is very rare to actually find that. I love it when you see incidental Braille around the place, like even just in lifts or the co-op. Just to give the co-op a plug, they are brilliant for having all their own brand products. They're all Brailled, either on the boxes or the wine bottle or whatever it is. And I don't know why more supermarkets don't do that, because it's really helpful.
We are, as I said, you know, we're in the 21st century. Braille has been around for a very long time, but you know, by the sounds of it, you know, you use it through your education, probably your leisure, you use it at work, so it still has a place for you. I suppose it's still as important for people to learn at all ages. I'm thinking around things like literacy skills.
There's a point of view out there, I think, that maybe Braille's becoming a bit obsolete or it's not as relevant to teach to children now because they can access technology. And I get really wound up, you know, by that kind of conversation, because I just think it is the thing that has made me literate. I mean, it's not possible for everybody. It depends on the stage that you lose your sight and how easy it is to pick up Braille, et cetera, et cetera. But I think for me, I picture words in my head in Braille. You know, that is how I know how to spell things. If I forget how to spell something, I'm picturing the shape of the Braille word in my head. And for me, that's what makes me literate. It's not listening to a screen reader or accessing things in a way that isn't physical. There's something about picking up a physical book and being able to touch it and feel the shape of those words that I feel that's very much part of my literacy. And I think that we shouldn't deny children that. You know, everybody should have the right to learn Braille. I think there should also be an expectation that Braille can be read with a certain speed, because I don't know if we always have that expectation of children when they're learning it. And I just think it absolutely does still have its place, because when I'm doing presentations at work, for example, there's nothing like just being able to have notes in hard copy Braille or even on the Braille display in front of me, and I can look up at the audience, have my notes there, read fluently, and, you know, just get on with it like everybody else would do. And I don't think there's a way to replace that, really.
I kind of lost my sight later in life and I tried to learn, couldn't do it. I don't know if it was a patience thing or I'm not sure. But, you know, I rely a lot on technology. And I notice that when I read things, especially, you know, more modern words or topics or stories you're reading about, and you can read the story, no bother at all, but you don't really know unless you go through it bit by bit how the spelling works, or sometimes even where punctuation marks are. So I could read a story and not know how to spell some of it unless I went through it character by character, if it wasn't a word that I recognised. Whereas you get that instantly.
But I'm the same with new words that maybe I haven't seen so much in Braille, because I am using a mix of technology in Braille now. So it was only about last year that I knew that Netflix had an X at the end of it, because you just don't know these things if you're listening to a screen reader or something.
Absolutely. Well, Kerry, you know, it sounds like Braille is most definitely a favourite of yours, and you're most definitely an advocate of it as well. And thank you very much for telling us your story on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much. I've loved it. Any chance to talk about Braille, I will take. Thank you.